This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's a thing called a toilet bowl theory, where if you flush it, it doesn't happen. It's like a tree falling in a forest. Like, did it actually fall if you don't know it fell? So I was doing my best all morning to forget and ignore and not acknowledge that there's a celebration down I-95. And Tiki Barber is sitting next to me, and what are you watching?
I can't help it. I turn on my social media, and it's like broadcast right in my face.
What are you watching?
I'm watching the Eagles... Super Bowl celebration parade. They're actually on the steps of City Hall, disrespecting everybody, including the mayor. Wrap it up.
They didn't want to hear from her. They wanted to hear from Jalen and AJ and Saquon.
Right, they're all dropping F-bombs and everything else.
Everybody's classless. The city's classless. The team's classless. But here's one thing that they know that we know. When the parade is over and they clean up the confetti... The Philadelphia 76ers won't even sniff the playoffs. And the Philadelphia Phillies have to acknowledge their daddies. And the Knicks are your daddies, too. But guess what? The Knicks don't have to worry about the Sixers because the Knicks only have to worry about playoff teams. Like the Nets, not the Sixers. So... I just hate even hearing it.
Yeah. And then they got to figure out how to stop Matt Stafford and Malik Nabers. So good luck.
That's right. We'll get to Matthew Stafford coming up in a little bit because I've been skeptical on why Stafford would come here. Mm-hmm. We now know why he wants to come here. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. Marcus Stroman's been a big story. And now the revelation has hit all of us. The Yankees should just go with a six-man rotation. It just benefits everybody. Gerrit Cole gets more rest. Max Fried gets more rest. Let's go. 888-808-1019. Tom and Harrison, how brilliant an idea is that? That means it's not a brilliant idea. Damn it. I was hoping he's going to say it was amazingly brilliant. Tom, you there? All right, he's gone. He was going to say that's a brilliant idea. Let's go to Bob and Comac. How are you, Bob?
Hey, guys. How are you? Love the show.
Listen,
totally transparent here. Number one, I'm a Mets fan. Number two, I don't really believe you can change the stripes on a zebra. And, you know, Evan, you're a Mets fan. Do you remember... when Stroman was with the Mets, I think 95% of the fans were happy that he left that team. I don't know if he's changed, but I can't picture a guy who's not going to pitch every 5 days, who's going to get needs a bunch of starts because of contract and innings, is going to be happy with that at the Yankees and be content and just do his role as the Yankees see fit and serve him.
But you know what, Bob? How many guys... in Major League Baseball, who are making $18 million a year with a vesting option the following year, who's made 250 career starts and has basically made most starts the last 5 years. I wouldn't say every start, but he's made most starts. How many guys would be happy or content with being sent to the bullpen?
None.
Nobody?
None. Not a single one of them. Because they still believe in themselves.
Right.
They still want to be the man. I mean, at the end of the day, that's part of it. I remember when I got hurt a couple of times during my career, the thing I hated most, I mean, the rehab sucked and everything else, it was watching someone else do your job. And so if you're a starting pitcher and all of a sudden you're not, you're watching someone else do your job and there's nothing you can do about it, that hits you in a really hard spot. And so that's all Marcus Stroman is talking about. Yeah, we know what his history was and how much of a pain in the butt he was. But all I can do right now is take him at his word. And he said, I'm in a calm place. We'll see how this thing plays out. And that's all we can do and expect right now is just to see how it plays out.
Let's go to Josh in Connecticut. How are you, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, you guys are talking about recycling. It kind of put up my blood pressure. I'm staring at a massive box outside on my front porch right now that I got to get cleaned up before 4:30 before the wife comes home.
Exactly.
I got to say, though, Evan, you are totally lucky that your recycling comes every single week. Because, like, Kiki, I feel you. It's like a strategy. Like,
no doubt.
You have, like, an event coming up at the house, like a holiday.
That's so true.
Like, you have to like, filter it into the trash sometimes. You know, don't tell the environmentalists that, but,
right.
You know.
Right.
And I'll even peek into, like, my neighbor's cans when I pull into the driveway the night of. I'm like, hey, like, how much real estate do I have? They already figured it out. But, yeah, we have Amazon trucks in the driveway, like, sometimes two at a time. Like, they know our house. It's crazy. But they do have a pretty cool tool that actually hooks on to the hinges of your trash can. And it's, like, a welded manufactured tool that helps compact it down.
Oh, really?
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah, so it's, if you have a truck that comes and picks it up with the arm, you can stuff a bunch of stuff in there. But if you got like guys manually doing it, make them a hard time. But just a little tip.
That's interesting.
That's interesting.
Because that would certainly help. Think about how much room you could create in your recycling bin if you're just crushing it down like that.
Well, I think the real trick is to wet them down, is to wet the boxes down and it breaks them down. And then they just kind of scrunch up.
Mm.
But that's work.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
It's
easier just to
rip
it apart. Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. 100%. You hose it down and the box, it's just like wet paper. When you get paper wet, it just like kind of disintegrates a little bit.
Did you ever think when you're rushing for 200 yards versus Washington, you know, you'd be, you know, near and 50 out there with the hose hosing down Amazon boxes?
I don't do it. I break that part out. I punch the boxes.
That's right.
I rip them apart.
I can't believe that, and maybe I'm abnormal where I live, that it's once every 2 weeks. Because I remember a few months ago, I missed recycling day. I just missed it. Like, I think I forgot to do it at night. I overslept. I didn't get it out quick enough. And having to have another week of recycling was overwhelming. Like, I had basically plastic all over my garage. I couldn't find a way to contain it. So I don't know how the hell I'd live if it was once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, you figure it out. We just don't have... Ours are just boxes mostly. We don't have a ton of plastic.
See, I'm my plastic's my biggest issue.
Right.
I think we do bottles of water, which we should probably stop because it's bad for the environment.
Just get a filter.
We do that, but I still do bottles of water.
Evan loves his bottles of water. We know that because he leaves them here. I got to buy you a water bottle for Christmas. That's going to be my gift for you.
No, Tommy, I have one in my office, and I was using it for 2 days this week, and then I forget to fill it up, and then it's like... I stopped using
it. But see, I
bro, it's in my office right now.
Oh, this office.
Yes.
I thought you meant your home office.
No, I was using it this week. I forget. When I go back to the bottles.
When I watch you on the Rico, you drink your water bottle like Mike used to drink his Diet Coke. Like, you'll make a great point, and then you'll sip your water bottle. And I'm like, well, it's like Mike, except it's not Diet Coke.
Let's go to Matt in Northport. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's it going, guys? You got me thinking when talking about the six-man rush. Or for the Mets and Yankees.
Yeah.
But I always thought when they did that, like, okay, now we're getting a section day arrest. Why is it still 100 pitches is the magic number? But I'm thinking about the way that, David Stearns views, because if people say, oh, the Mets, they need these big starters. I kind of agree with him in that, you know, you just get these guys that don't cost $30 million. Any pitcher could get hurt, you know, and then you just get guys like that you find and they get, because the more important outs are the outs at the end of the game. But here's where I'd like to see it change. Remember a few years ago when the Mets had Lugo, they would go with like multi, like I'd love to see a change where you get a shutdown, not just a classic closer like you have with Diaz, but get a guy like, imagine bringing up Brandon Sproat and be like, okay, every third or fourth day, you pitch the last nine outs of the game. And it's one single line, nasty pitcher with great stuff. And it's like,
Well, we actually do see it randomly. Like you mentioned Seth Lugo, that's exactly how the Mets had used him years ago, where when he was really effective, he'd come into a game and he'd get 6, 7, 8 outs, but then you wouldn't see him for a few days.
Right.
Mets even did that with Jose Budo for a time last year when he was pitching well. The negative to that is that they're not available the next couple of days. Most guys can't throw 50 pitches
right.
and then come back and pitch the next day.
Right. Because they're not conditioned that way. They're not right. relievers.
But we are seeing more of that, and I think the DH allows that, you know, where you don't have to worry about double switching or pinch hitting the pitcher that you just brought in.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Tim is in Westfield. How are you, Tim?
Evan, I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Nothing. And Tiki, thank you for being such a good Giant.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just also calling about the six-man rotation thing here. I'm a little confused.
Go ahead.
Under this theory, what happens if one of the pitchers goes down? Do you just switch back to a five-man rotation?
Yes. And, yes.
You know,
yes.
Forget this, but...
Yes.
Doesn't that throw off the rest they've been getting?
You know
what?
You know why I don't think it does? If you look, and I just did it with Gerrit Cole, if you look at most starters, they're going to make a bunch of starts on 4 days rest. They're going to make a bunch of starts on 5 days rest. And sometimes they even have more than that. Why, you ask? Rainouts, off days. Things mess with it all the time. So, by the way, the Mets are going to do the same thing. Carlos Mendoza was asked a couple days ago, and he confirmed they're going with a six-man rotation.
Yep.
But then if something happened to Kodai Senga, they wouldn't go with a six-man rotation.
Oh, interesting.
They're doing it around Kodai Senga.
Well, I mean, that's the real reason you need it. But their rotation isn't as old or injury-questioning as the Yankees is. So, right? I mean, so they're doing it because of Kodai Senga specifically. But if they should lose Kodai Senga, they're fine, relatively speaking.
Well, they're not fine because they need him to be
but
really
you know
good.
What I mean? I'm talking about health-wise.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about effectiveness-wise.
Right.
I'm talking health-wise.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the Yankees, why we're even suggesting this is health issues.
Well, I'm suggesting it for a myriad of reasons. Number one, one of my critiques of the Yankees, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the offseason, was, boy, if you go out and you sign Max Fried, you're now talking about three starting pitchers who are in their 30s, making big money, signed for a long time.
Yeah.
That seems like the recipe for disaster. I mean, it's the opposite of David Stearns. And by the way, I don't even agree with David Stearns. I would have at least one starter who I'd make that big gamble on, right?
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't do three, so I don't agree with Cashman, but I also don't agree with Stearns. Like, I wouldn't have three, but I wouldn't have zero. So if you've got three starters who are in their 30s, signed long-term, making a crap ton of money, not just this year, but next year, the year after, and the year after that, don't you have to think big picture?
Yeah, you absolutely have to think big picture.
So
you never
benefits,
know when it's over.
So it benefits those three guys specifically because they are a little bit older. And in Cole's case, he's coming off a year in which he missed basically half the year. And in the case of Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil, you give them extra rest. And oh, by the way, you've got a guy capable of being the sixth guy. If someone got hurt, the reason why I would not remain with a six man is because what? You want to start Carlos Carrasco?
Right, you make your rotation a lot worse.
Right. I think the Yankees are equipped to do it because they've got six good starting pitchers. So, yes, if a guy went down, I would go right back to five. Let's go to Kevin in Oakland, New Jersey. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. How are you? I got two things for you.
Go ahead.
Evan, I'm the guy who you called arrogant when I suggested that the Aaron Rodgers experiment was going to turn out worse than the Knicks with Phil Jackson. And I was right.
Are you looking,
the other thing,
well, before you continue, are you looking for a public apology from me?
If you're willing to give one, I will gladly accept one.
Kevin in Oakland, New Jersey, I'm an idiot, and I was wrong about Rodgers, and you were right, and I'm embarrassed, and my team sucks, and it just reminds me I'll never see any of my teams win a championship. Thank you for reminding me.
Our Mets will.
Okay.
All right, I'm with
all
you.
Right. All right.
I'm with you with the Mets, man. The other thing is, hey, there's this crazy invention. It's called a razor blade that you can actually use to cut down the middle of a box, and it works just as well as having to wet them. It's quicker and less messy.
Right.
How do you answer that,
Tiki? But the problem with the razor blade is that how many people keep it like right where you need it, right when you need it? Because what happens with me is that Amazon will come sometime during the day or night. Tracy will open the box. There'll be stuff on the kitchen counter, and the box will just be sitting there.
Mm.
And so I'm getting ready to leave for work, and the box sitting there is annoying me.
Right.
And so I know if I don't touch it and do something with it, I'm going to come back 7 hours later, and it's still going to be sitting there.
Mm.
And so what do? I pick it up along with my bag, my jacket, and I head out to the garage, and I have this box in my bag and my jacket, put that stuff in the car, and I have the box. And so I'm not going back inside to go get an X-Acto knife to cut open a box. I just break it down. I just don't put it on the floor. I punch it. It cracks the tape a little bit. Then I split it apart, fold it up, stick it in the bin.
Mm.
It's easier that way. Aggression is so much easier than precision knives.
Spoken like a true football player. Just blow that thing up. Just rip it up, tackle it.
Exactly right.
And you got it. Let's go to Steve in New Jersey. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing? First time caller. I've been listening to the show a lot this baseball offseason. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
So two thoughts for you. One on Stroman and then one on the Yankees again generally. So the reason why I agree with Evan that he shouldn't have said that he won't pitch in the bullpen, and I get you saying the difference, Stinky, between won't or will not,
yeah,
is you're Stroman. You want to earn your $18 million in 2026. So you need to pitch your innings. I think it's 140 innings, by the way, guys. And you know that's probably not going to happen with the Yankees.
Right.
So you want to make it as easy for them to trade you as you can. And I think if you make a comment like that, then
you're
the
correct.
Teams see that. They go, oh, the Yankees got an issue.
Steve,
you know, they got to come back to us,
Steve,
right?
Steve, you are correct.
140
innings.
Yep. You are right. And he got to that number last year at 154. He didn't get to those numbers in 23 and 22. So if he goes out and pitches, there's like a good chance he'll get there, but it's certainly not a lock. But to your point, to our last caller's point, if Stroman's in the rotation, let's say there is an injury, it's a regular five-man rotation, and he's pitching well, and now the Yankees are healthy and they want to trade him, that vesting option being within reach makes him less appealing.
Mm.
Because if you are, let's say, the Reds, they're in the pennant race.
You
they could use
that.
A start. They're not going to want to.
Yeah, you inherit that.
So
right.
It's weird, man. And I don't know why. And I listened to the entire Stroman press conference. No one asked about the vesting option.
Mm.
No one asked, like, hey.
Yeah, but you don't. Oh, no, that's not the reason that he's not a starter. Right, because and if it was as simple as
no, the Yankees aren't blocking him because of the option. They're
right.
blocking him because, in their opinion, he is not. He's the sixth best starter.
Right. Clark
he's
Schmidt,
not the fifth best starter.
Clark Schmidt and Heel are better than them in their minds.
The only guy, by the way, if we're being a real conversation, if we look at the Yankee rotation, who would you take out for Marcus Stroman? There's only one I would consider.
Rodon?
Yes. And they're not doing that because of the years and the guarantees. They're not. But I would not even consider Clark Schmidt or Luis Heel. Obviously not Gerrit Cole and not Max Fried.
No.
The only guy in that rotation that I'd say, hey, if we're just forget the money, forget everything, let's rank them in terms of trust, in terms of what you think you're going to get out of them. Carlos Rodon's the guy I think about because he's not that good and I don't trust him. Now, if you look at last year, Carlos Rodon had like good moments. Certainly, and if you look at his overall season, he had a better year than Stroman. He made 32 starts. He had a sub-4 ERA, but I don't love him. I mean, a year earlier, he missed half the year and pitched to a 7 ERA. Like, Marcus Stroman's career is more reliable than Carlos Rodon's. You know what I mean? Like, Rodon is so up and down.
Yeah.
His best is better than Stroman's, but in terms of, like, reliability, Stroman's much more reliable.
Definitely agree. Absolutely agree. But you take the upside of Rodon with the two second halves that Stroman's had.
It's not just that. It's you take the fact that you signed them for $162
million.
I mean, come on. That's a big part of it. Can't ignore it. Let's go to Anthony in Brooklyn. Anthony.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, man.
Really quick on the whole box situation also. Tiki, I ripped that thing into 400 pieces and threw it in the bag.
I wish I had the patience to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like my kids are sleeping, you hit, my wife's yelling at me like, ripping boxes.
Stop ordering so much crap.
Yeah, seriously, yeah, it's not even me. Really quick on the six-man rotation thing. I don't even think Showman's going to even be here, to be honest with you. But if the Yankees do that and they go six-man rotation the whole year, what does that mean then for the playoffs? They're used to all that rest, and then you go to like a four-man rotation. Do you think that's like a disadvantage for them now in the rotation in the playoffs?
Well, two things. Probably, if you make zero starts on 4 days rest, now all of a sudden the playoffs, you're asking guys to do it, you're right, that would be a disadvantage. But here's the caveat. Do you think there's any shot whatsoever the Yankees would get to a full season with a six-man rotation because everybody's healthy? Zero shot. That is like once-in-a-lifetime crap. Like, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen for any team. It's not going to happen for the Mets. It's not going to happen for anybody. So I totally get the, hey, if you had a six-man the entire year and now it's the postseason, how would they fare? It's a fair question. I just don't think it's a realistic one because the Yankees will eventually have a five-man rotation under this plan because somebody's getting hurt. I mean, the reality is somebody's going to get hurt soon. And I'll give you a prediction, and I don't want to be right about this, because, and I've said this about the Mets, so I don't want you to think I'm hating. You know, whenever I do the Rico and we talk about the rotation options, I'm like, someone's going to get hurt. I hope I'm wrong, but someone will. The Yankees are going to trade Marcus Stroman. That's Sean's prediction. That's my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Within 48 hours of the New York Yankees trading Marcus Stroman, someone's getting hurt in the rotation.
You're making it quick.
Am I wrong?
I mean, can you give us a month?
No, it's going to happen within 2 days. They will trade Stroman and be like, oh, okay. And then, like, someone's pulling a hammy and they're out for 6 weeks.
But don't you think you're,
I hope it's a hammy.
Yeah.
I would take that.
And not an arm injury.
That's why I was trying to be nice. I didn't want to pick something horrible.
I don't think that's outrageous, but I also think this is preemptively why they're going to trade him. Because if and when that happens, I don't think they want to deal with this in season when whoever comes back and Marcus Stroman's the obvious candidate and then have him saying stuff like this in season.
But you're saying if he takes someone's spot
yes.
in the middle of the season and then whoever that is, let's say it's Max Fried, comes
right.
back, Marcus Stroman now puts up a stink because he's pitched, assuming he pitched
solid.
Well.
Right.
Pitched solid. I don't want to leave the starting rotation.
Exactly. And does a team that's on a roll with World Series aspirations need to deal with that in June?
No.
As Giant fans have talked about acquiring Matthew Stafford, one of the questions we have all asked is, well, why would Matthew Stafford want to come here? We may have the answer. We'll get to it coming up at 888-808-1019. Last couple of days, the name Matthew Stafford's been talked about a lot. Like, oh, it makes sense for the Giants. Oh, the Giants should get Stafford. And what I said to you a few days ago, we talked about it, is why would Matthew Stafford want to come here? Well, I was listening. And I have the audio for you to prove this. I was listening to this podcast. I wrote it down because I forgot the name of it. Actually, I don't have it. Whatever. I was listening to this random podcast, and this guy said, this is why Matthew Stafford wants to play in New York. Take a listen.
People have said, why would Matt Stafford want a trade to the Giants?
Yeah, why?
Here would be the easy answer for that. And maybe it's not a great answer for Giant fans, but Matt Stafford's wife, Kelly, has been through health issues. Their family has been through hell and back. And she actually has, for a player's wife, man, a really successful podcast. They have been out in L.A., okay? It seems like she may be, if you read enough of the breadcrumbs, you follow her career, getting a little tired of L.A.
Oh.
She spent a long time in Detroit.
Oh.
And New York presents plenty of media opportunities. Matt Stafford has won a Super Bowl. The Rams do feel like maybe McVay wants to pull back, and last year could have been their last gasp. Because, you know, what the hell the Rams I don't know. But if Matt Stafford comes to the Giants and they figure out a trade, I don't think it has to do with Matt Stafford necessarily wants the Giants as a franchise at this point in his career, but more so, he'd be doing something for his wife who's completely supported him throughout his career.
Interesting. Mm. By the way, I found it. Sean Morash, one Giant step.
Oh,
thank you,
man.
Sean. Look at you breaking news.
Is that what I sound like on the air?
Where did you record that? The Vatican?
I left my studio. I was upstairs to make sure the dogs didn't bark.
So Sean Morash is reporting that Kelly Stafford wants New York because of her podcast. Can you elaborate?
Yeah. So I actually talked to some people have nothing to do with the Giants, but more in the podcasting world from what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Those are the sources. Is that why you decided to break the news on a podcast and not here?
Also, you know, we were too busy talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Don't put this on me.
So, yes, this is what I have been told is that, and this came, why does he want to come to a losing organization? His wife is tired of Los Angeles. That's it. And she even said kind of as much so on her podcast, I'm up for new adventures and everything. It doesn't mean they don't love the Rams organization or anything like that, but more or less, you know, he's getting to the latter part of her career and his career, and her career is really taking off. And I think beyond her podcast, we kind of talked about Strahan all week. She kind of has aspirations that she could be like the next Kelly Ripa. Like, that's, you know, you can insert joke here and say what you want to say, but like that.
No, there's no joke.
She made make me listen to her podcast. I just found it. The Morning After with Kelly Stafford and Hank. Her husband is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. His daughter is obsessed with dinosaurs. What? His daughter is obsessed with dinosaurs. I don't know why she's talking about Matthew Stafford and not her daughter. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Kelly Stafford and bestie Hank Winchester. Oh, Hank's daughter is obsessed with dinosaurs. Now I get it. Hank Winchester know a thing or two about pressure, the spotlight, and keeping it all together for their kiddos.
Mm.
Her insight on the intensity of professional football and his life working in television news.
Oh.
That's him. is not for the faint of heart. Their stories about life and raising kids will not only have you laughing, but they'll make you feel connected to the chaos all trying to navigate. Sit back, pour a splash,
keep
have a time.
I would listen to the podcast only because 2 years ago, I listened to every bleeping podcast that Aaron Rodgers would go on to get hints at what he wanted. Uh-huh. So since this is a New York quarterback situation, I will start listening to Kelly Stafford's podcast to see if she drops hints.
Most of them are like 30 minutes or less.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
A couple of them are an hour. But
Either way, I'd tell you this. I've actually never listened to a podcast. I've just seen the clips out there on Twitter. I mean, I'm a Rico One Giant Step guy myself.
Right.
But yeah, that's what's going on. So anyway, that just answers the one part of the question. Well, is this a thing and why does Stafford want the Giants?
It's a very important part of the question because on its surface, why would Matthew Stafford want to play for the New York Giants? And your answer, and it's very believable, I'm not disputing you, is that his wife wants to live in New York. Look, New York's the greatest place in the world. And I include New Jersey in that. Like, it's New York, New Jersey. It's the area. We're the greatest place in the world.
It's also what Connor Hughes told us about Russell Wilson.
Right. And after he did, which we've heard for years, I asked you guys, would that bother you if a guy only wants to play here because of the lifestyle? Or I remember we had this conversation about Russell Westbrook years ago when he was still good, that he wanted to play in New York, and it was really just the fashion. And I'm like, all right, do you want a guy coming here for that reason? As opposed to why Jalen Brunson came here. He came here because he's like, I want to win, and I'm going to win here. So is that any concern whatsoever if that's the reason, that it has nothing to do with Brian Daboll, it has nothing to do with Malik Nabers, and it's strictly his wife wants to live in New York?
Here's the easy answer. Would I rather Matt Stafford and his Super Bowl ring and his veteran leadership and borderline Hall of Fame career come here because his wife wants to be here? Or would I rather Jameis Winston quarterback this team because he wants to play quarterback for the New York Giants? Give me Matt Stafford and his wife. It just comes down to ability. And ultimately, I don't think Matt Stafford's going to get here and go, well, I'm only here because of my wife, so I'm not going to try.
Right.
You know what I mean?
My issue with Matthew Stafford is that why did any Giant fan out there, I mean, let me phrase it this way, who wanted Brian Daboll back, and I know that wasn't the majority, like, Tommy, you wanted him fired, I respect that. A lot of people did. Why did you want Brian Daboll back? Like, what was the reason that Giant fan said, hey, I'd want him back?
I want him to develop a young quarterback.
Okay. It's the same thing I gave. I said, you know what, my hesitation on firing Daboll is, boy, I got to see him with a young quarterback. Matthew Stafford's not a young quarterback.
But
so you're going to bring in a 37-year-old, and I don't think he comes here as a bridge. I guess that's the fundamental difference. He's going to come here to win and play. Well, he's not going to come here to give the job to Shador after 7 weeks. I don't see it, bro.
Well, it depends on how long he wants to play. And I was trying to listen to Kelly Stafford's podcast real briefly, because in the February 4th edition, she says we're going to touch on Matthew's plans for the 2025.
How come you haven't listened to that yet, Sean? I mean,
I didn't have to listen to that.
If you just listen to me, go back in the Odyssey app, rewind 5 minutes ago, I said, she said, we're always down for a new adventure.
That's all she said?
Well, she didn't close the door on L.A., but it was more like, hey, you know, if we don't figure out anything here, it was her hint.
All right, but let me get back to this. Right. Matthew Stafford is a fine quarterback. It's nothing against him. If I'm the Giants, if I'm an IFO, which I am, my appeal in Brian Daboll is his ability to develop a young quarterback. I don't get the sense that Stafford comes here as the Kurt Warner bridge that you dealt with when you played.
No, I don't think so either.
Okay, so you agree with me. Then why are you bringing him in? You're picking third in the draft. Daboll's supposed to develop a young quarterback. I mean, at what point do you want him to develop a young quarterback?
The only way it makes sense is if he gets released, and that's not going to happen.
If who gets released?
Matt Stafford, because you're not trading for him. You're not giving up your third overall pick, because I know some people have suggested that.
That's insane.
It's absolutely insane.
That's insanity.
The only reason you would do that is if you were trading for, I don't know, a guy who was young and was like drafting him in the first round.
Or if you thought you were a quarterback away from winning.
I wouldn't even do it then.
By the way, I agree with you. I'm saying in that scenario, at least I'd have to think about it.
Right. But it's you're not getting a first-round pick from Matt Stafford. It's just that I've heard it suggested, and it's insane.
Would you trade a second-round pick for him?
I would think about it, but I'd probably go third round. I'd probably – look, you get valuable players in the second round.
Yes.
You get a lot of your stars. I mean, hell, the Giants in our era, it was all the second-rounders. Strahan, Amani, myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was the second-rounders who were the big hits. And so I think – it's a valuable pick to keep your second rounder. Third, possibly. Possibly a third, but nothing more, because you're only going to get a couple of years. I mean, if you were going to get Matthew Stafford for 6 years, maybe you think about trading your first round.
Wait, but you want him to be the quarterback for a couple of years?
Yes.
I disagree, man.
He's still good enough to be your quarterback.
It's not about him. He is good enough to be your quarterback for a couple of years. But the whole point, to me at least,
is getting a young quarterback for Gabe's to develop.
Am I wrong?
Here's the problem. Is it? I guess we'll find out. I'm not sold on it. If I'm banking my future on Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, I'd be nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it might work out, but I wouldn't feel confident. It's not like I'm drafting, I don't know, Trevor Lawrence at the time. Now, Trevor's career hasn't panned out, obviously, because of the multiple coaching changes and another one coming that he's gone through. But it's not like you're drafting a sure thing, right? It's not like you're drafting, C.J. Stroud. You're drafting potentially a project, even though you're picking them in the first round. That's rough. Like, I think these days, if you draft a kid in the top five picks, he needs to play right away.
Right.
And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, the NFL has changed. They've integrated offensive schemes that are familiar to these college players, and they can play right away and feel confident doing it. It's not like dropping back and reading and, oh, I'm lost, I'm swimming, and I can't figure out what the hell is going on. Like, they can play comfortably right away. And if you're drafting a kid in the top five, he better be playing right away.
If there is a
bridge, it's a support bridge. It's not one that kid is standing on for a year.
My concern, though, is if you trade for Matthew Stafford, who I agree can still play, it's not about Stafford. Like, really, I'm not ripping him. It has nothing to do with him. It's the situation that they're in. And they go 6-11, which, I'm sorry, if we look at the division and we look at the roster and we look at the schedule, that's probably what you're talking about here. We're not talking about a 10-win team. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If they go win 10 games, good for you. That's great, and there's no problems in the world, because to me it's about winning. But if you are in that 6-win range or 7-win range, what are we doing? What are we doing? Because you haven't developed your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
When I've said, hey, I'm on the fence about Daboll, it's funny. I think you wanted him back. You wanted him back.
Of course.
Sean wanted him back. Lugie wanted him fired. I was more kind of like, hey, I got to admit it, guys, I'm very torn. But the part of me that leans towards bringing him back is I'd regret not seeing him develop a quarterback. Yeah, I got to see it.
But
when
you say that, that is also a project. Here's what I'd rather have. Just blank and win.
I agree, but are they going to win?
I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care if it's a 22-year-old kid from Timbuktu University. I just want to win. And if Matthew Stafford has 5 years left in his career and he still is playing at a high level, which, by the way, he is, and you win, who cares if Dave never nurtures a young kid?
Are they going to win?
If they win, yes.
No, but are they going to win?
I have no idea. See, I did not think the Commanders were winning last year. They got a young quarterback and a new coaching staff with Dan Quinn, and it turned a morbid franchise into a winner like that. Now, a lot of it was free agency, right? A lot of it was Bobby Wagner coming in at middle linebacker. It was Frankie Louvu, who they picked up as an edge rusher.
He was great.
A couple of names that people don't even know about who were integral to their offseason by Adam Peters. You give them credit. But it had to do with a rookie of the year quarterback and Jaden Daniels. But I think more of it was the team was just built well, right? And it was sustainable.
Yeah.
We get so obsessed in football with quarterback. It's fantastic. We didn't talk about this on Monday, and I'm glad we were revisiting this. But Jalen Hurts proved something to the rest of the NFL. You don't have to have a Hall of Fame quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
That is true.
You don't.
I agree with that.
You just need a good one.
Yeah.
Right? You need a well-built team, balance on both sides of the football, and well-coached football players. And I think that Dave's is a good coach in that regard. And so the obsession with quarterback is—it's not where I am. I don't live in that world. And I hear you guys talking about it. I hear Sean and Louie and fans across New York talking about quarterback. Damn the quarterback! If your team isn't built well, you're gonna suck.
Are the Giants built well?
They're not built well enough.
That's my issue. But it goes back to that
young quarterback in there. No. You're doing a disservice to the quarterback.
I agree, but like. You're right about one thing that you said that I completely agree with. If they get Matthew Stafford and win 10 games, who gives a rat's ass about the... I'm with you. I want to win. Right. I'm with...
That's
win.
All I care about.
Okay.
I don't care about having a franchise quarterback that's 22 years old and is going to be with me for the next 15 years. I don't care about that. The Giants have sucked for so long, consistency-wise, even though 2022, notwithstanding, they need to win. They need to find a formula that wins. Philosophically, they have to change the way that they're thinking about building this team, because you don't walk into an SEC school and come away with Evan Neal. You don't. Something's wrong with how you looked at that player, because it's easy to see it now. He doesn't have the desire to be great. And if you're bringing guys in here that don't want to be great and they're just happy to be in the building and wear a Giants uniform, guess what? We're going to suck forever. Change the way you look at it. That's the only way you win.
So,
I think that's what the Commanders did. That's what the Houston Texans did. They changed the way that they looked at how they were building
their
team.
Have the Giants done that?
No. Clearly
so then
they
why are we bringing in a quarterback? That's my point to you. I agree about the winning, and I agree about everything else
because
you said.
Bringing in a
they're not ready for that.
Bringing in a winning quarterback is the first step of doing that. Bringing in a quarterback that you don't have to hold his hand and teach him and say, oh, you know what? You'll be fine. I know you failed and sucked today, but you know what? You'll be fine. You need someone who can stand tall and be proud of what he's accomplished and actually be a collaborator in building an offense, right? I get odds at thinking about young quarterbacks. I really do, because you have zero idea whether they're going to be successful or they're going to fail. I know we've seen some examples of successes over the last couple of years, but more likely than not, these kids fail because the situation's not right for them. And so if you bring in a veteran, and I don't know if Matt Stafford is actually available. The only reason we've been talking about him is because he posted something that sounded like he was leaving. You know that the Los Angeles Rams are in this weird limbo where they're either going for it again, right, 3 years after they won a Super Bowl, or they're rebuilding this thing. And Matt Stafford's not going to be a part of a rebuild. So is he available? I don't know. But if he is available, I want Matthew Stafford because he's a proven winner, period. And he's better than any other option out there. I know people want to talk about Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and they can't hold Stafford's jock. So if Stafford's available, I want him.
He's period. Better than all those other guys. The difference I have with you is where this organization is. While he makes them better, I don't think they're winning anything. I think all that winning stuff, like, that's great. I want it, too. I think it's happening.
Did you just hear Tiki?
Yeah, I just heard it.
He brought up Bobby Wagner. He brought up Frankie Louvu. And I'm not blaming you, but I see a lot of Giants
fans. Hold on. The Commanders hired a new general manager and a new head coach.
Great. Right. Good for
have
them.
The Giants done that?
But that
you
nothing,
just
but
ripped
that,
Evan Neal. Right, you're
hold on,
right.
Hold on, Evan. That has nothing to do with it.
Of course it does.
No, it absolutely does not. It absolutely does not. The Ron Rivera Commanders were a shell. Like, they were shell-shocked. They were brought there, and it's hard not to see it in context because we just see it from afar. But if you know and you were just aware of what was going on, Ron Rivera was there to be this, and I hate to use the word, but it is what it is.
Babysitter? Is that the right word?
Just the right face.
I got you.
For nonsense. That was a nonsense situation that went on down there with Daniel Snyder. And Daniel Snyder's laughing his ass off in London with $6 billion in his pocket. Because that's what happened. They forced him to sell. He made $6 billion after investing whatever it was, $300 million to buy it a decade or decade and a half ago. So Ron Rivera was there for a reason, and it wasn't to just win. It was stabilize.
Mm.
We need credibility. We are a laughing stock. Nobody cares about this organization because this organization has been so bad to everybody involved around it and in it. So he was there for a reason. Dan Quinn comes in. He changes his philosophy. They hire the right owners buy it, and they bring in the right people to manage it. And you shouldn't be surprised that it flips so quickly because the philosophy was right. Right, the building of the team was right.
But what makes me think, or you think, that that's what the Giants would do? It's a different situation, but why would everything flip so quickly?
You think
the quarterback does everything?
No, it's not the quarterback.
So then,
doing
what about
everything.
All the other issues we've seen the last two years?
I think it's the learning curve of Joe Shane as a general manager. Remember, this is only his fourth year as general manager. It's the learning curve of Joe Shane as a general manager. We saw him have a fantastic draft. Last year, he did better in free agency than he previously has. And when I look forward, I think the best business people blatantly steal success from other people. What did you do successfully? Oh, I did this and this and this and this. Oh, great. I'm going to steal that.
Right.
I think if Joe Shane is a smart GM, which I know he's a smart man, you look at what other people have done successfully and you steal it. And if someone asks you, say, hell, I saw the Eagles do this. I stole it. Who cares how you get there, right? And I think we've become too obsessed with the quarterback, thinking the quarterback is going to be the savior. It just isn't. It just doesn't work that way. You have to build the right foundation before you throw a young kid in there and say, we're going to develop him into a star. Because you have all the plans to do that, but then your left tackle stinks, your right tackle stinks, your right guard is bad, your secondary is horrible.
But all of that
you don't have the skill position players.
But all your reasons, which I agree with, are why I wouldn't go after Matthew Stafford. You have to give up draft capital. He's going to cost them money.
You're going to have to give up the...
You want to say a third round pick?
Whatever it is, but it's going to be the right capital. He's not a first round. You're not giving up a second rounder for Matt Stafford. It's going to be the right compensation for Matt Stafford.
Third round pick and cap space. Well, you have to fill all those other holes that you talk about.
Yeah, but they're
not going to win.
A lot of them are filled. A lot of them can get filled in free agency. Some more of them will get filled in the draft. Right? I don't want to throw a question mark at quarterback. And so if I have the chance to get Matthew Stafford, who's a proven winner, I'm going to get Matthew Stafford. I'm not even thinking twice about it because I'm not sold on Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. I know everybody else is, but I'm not.
I'm not sold on either guy either. The thing is, I just wonder if you add this player, who's a good player, to this team. And yeah, Joe Shanken hitting free agency in the draft. Right. We'll see. I have no idea. I don't think this leads to the 10 wins or the 9 wins. I don't see it. I think they're too far off. I don't trust them. I don't trust the New York Giants.
What don't you trust?
I don't trust everything over the last few years. I don't their draft was good last year, but I don't trust the roster. I don't trust the fact that he never protected the fact that Andrew Thomas gets hurt. What the hell do I do at left tackle? I don't trust that. I don't trust a lot. Why they've been bad for two years.
I agree, which is why there needs to be a philosophical change on how you build your team. And it starts with the type of people that you bring into the organization. And as soon as you get that right, trust me, things fall into place. It just happens.
Are they bringing in new people?
I don't know, man.
Doesn't sound like it.
I have no idea.
Well, that's why
I'm not privy to the plans of Joe Shane.
But Teague, that's why I don't trust them. Because
he's not telling you what they're going to do?
No, because I'm basing it on the last three, four years. I'm basing it on what I've seen.
Here's the only thing I need.
Go ahead.
Only thing I need. And I don't know if we'll ever get this answer until we have a chance to sit down, probably at training camp, with Joe Shane. Have you recognized your failures?
It's a great question.
That's all I care about.
It's a great question.
I don't want to care about how do you do things better? How do you do things right? No. Forget all of that. Have you recognized your failure? Because when you recognize your failure, you can correct it. Right? You can start a path towards correcting it. When you say, no, we've done everything fine. We've been good. But obviously it's been a failure and you think it's fine.
If you give that answer, you're done.
You're done.
You're done. 100%. It's the best question you can ask
somebody. Have you recognized your failure?
Yes.
That's the only thing that matters. And if the Giants have recognized where they have failed, I have faith that they're going to be okay.
Let's...
And if not, then it was going to be the same nonsense that we've seen for the last decade plus.
Let's go to Mike in Bayshore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thank you for having me on.
What's up, man? Listen,
I am on board with Evan as much as it hurts to say it. Stafford, I think nice. The gain, what we will get to move us to somewhere between 4 and 9 wins a season, we are going to give up too much over the next few years. Draft capital,
I'm just telling you, your narrative is wrong. Mike, listen to me for a second. Your narrative is wrong.
Ahead.
You're not going to give up too much draft capital. I know you probably listened to one of these other national media hosts saying, you got to give up a first rounder and blah, blah, blah to get Matt. That's not true. I promise you that's not true. So don't let that lead your conversation.
That is not my lead at all. Listen, we even this year, second round is almost like a first round. What is it, 34, 32?
Yes.
It's essentially a second pick
in the second round.
Here's how we got to meet in the middle, okay? Because sometimes when we have disagreements, we're disagreeing, but we're not speaking the same language. 1,000% you'd be on you-know-what to give up the third overall pick for Matthew Stafford. Let's throw that away. Is a third-round pick too much draft capital, in your opinion?
No.
I think that's the disagreement that our last caller has done. Because that's probably what they're going to give up, if we're being fair, is that third-round pick.
Yep. Right.
And you're saying totally worth it. And I think a Giant fan's like, I don't want to give it up for Matthew Stafford. That's the difference. Is that too much for you guys?
Not at all. And the reason
you surprised me, by the way, big time.
No,
you just do.
No,
you're big, you'd surprise me.
I actually have a disagreement with both of you when it comes to this. But the third round pick, No. I agree more with Tiki, but slightly. I don't think, by the way, that doing this prohibits them, if they really love Ward and Sanders, for doing that and having him sit like Jordan Love, truly. And that's where I would be fine with Dable developing the quarterback. The third round pick comp is exactly what Matt Ryan, at the same age, the Colts gave up to get him. So that's where I think that's what you have to work with there. Of course, it's not going to be a first or second round pick.
That was
2 years ago? 3 years ago?
3 years ago. Right. 2 years ago, he was in the booth with me.
Right, but that's the kind of comp we're talking about. An MVP type of player.
Okay,
all of that.
There are people out there that's going to feel that's too much. You say totally
no
fine.
Way.
Okay, that's the...
But I
want to put the disagreement in terms instead of us talking around it. It's not a first round pick. It's a third round pick.
But there's two important things here that we have to remind ourselves when arguing this. The first thing is this. No matter what happens here starting in March in the offseason, and we went over it and played the four names, the Giants are adding a veteran quarterback this year.
Right.
So if you don't like Matt Stafford and giving up a third rounder, the proper question to ask yourself is, are you willing to give up a third rounder for Matt Stafford, or do you want to pay guaranteed money to Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, or any of the names we went through?
No, thank you.
Okay,
no,
so that's
thank you.
So start there.
Yeah, no, thank you.
So if you're no matter what, you're adding a veteran, don't argue, oh, it's too much to give up. Also remember, if you don't do that, you're signing one of those guys.
Right.
Okay, because also at third overall, you don't have a guarantee still that you're getting either of those two quarterbacks, and the Giants can't operate in March as if they know for sure they're getting one of those two guys.
That's true.
So for me, that's exactly why I'm okay giving it up for Matt Stafford.
But if you're trading for Matthew Stafford, let's say you trade a third round pick, you cannot take a quarterback at three. You can't. That's idiotic. Because now you're now drafting a quarterback at three. You're trading for a quarterback. You have now one pick in the top three to add to this roster. To me, I would draft Carter or Hunter at three. If you are going to bring in Stafford for the next 3 years, you want to win. You know how you win? You bring in Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
By the way, I'd be okay with that. Tommy, you're not...
Stafford and Abdul Carter, let's go.
It's not egregious.
Yeah.
It's not egregious.
Well, because it gives you, without question, the best chance to win next year.
Correct.
But I wonder what that is. Like, I don't want to be too negative. I really don't. I'm trying to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the division is a hellscape. It's very good.
Right, it's going to be tough.
And the schedule on paper, yes, a lot can change. I acknowledge that, is also really tough. Like, I just don't know if...
But you can't help that right now. You can't help the schedule. So you can't...
It helps in terms of how aggressive I am in terms of winning in the short term versus thinking more long term. That's where it changes.
No, I just can't get down with that because I still look at the best Philadelphia Eagles, defending Super Bowl champions, and in my mind, I think I can beat them.
Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. Hey, Josh.
Hey, the generation Allen kind of just stole my thunder a little bit there, but I'm going to pivot a little bit and say one of the reasons I think that he might want to come here, Stafford, is because, you know, Jalen Brunson, what has he won exactly so far? And he's already declared the king of New York. So all it really takes would be all it really takes is Stafford coming here, making us relevant again, start winning some games, and I think the best chance to win, like
that's,
you said, no
solid.
Doubt.
Josh,
is
that's solid.
I
like it, Josh.
I don't know. I think you guys are going to give me crap for this. I completely disagree with that. I think that
you
New
don't
York,
think if Matt Stafford came no, here, won no, 10 games, no. got to the postseason, he's not. In the conversation,
no,
for the king of New York.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
I think you guys are shortchanging the franchise. The New York Giants are winners. They are. I know it has been a while.
Okay, but Aaron Judge has been the king of New York forever, and he hasn't won a World Series.
Well,
he's only been to one.
He lost the crown to Jalen Brunson, who hasn't got past the second round.
Is that definitive?
Yes.
That's definitively happened.
That's definitive. I have a meeting with the mayor on Monday.
I thought we fought that. Well, the mayor might be. Whatever.
My only point is, it's like, I'll use the Jets as an example. I don't want to pick on the Knicks or anybody else. Let's use my crappy football team.
Okay.
If the Jets brought in whomever, Matthew Stafford, we'll play the same game. If Matthew Stafford came to the Jets and they won 11 games and made the playoffs, yes, we as loser Jet fans are King Stafford!
No, you're right. I'm going to agree with you. You're right.
If the Giants did it, it's like, yeah, we were in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Eli is still the king. Right, like, come on.
He'd have to win the Super Bowl.
Yes!
Right. By the way, why not Matthew Stafford to the Jets?
I think the issue with Matthew... So, two things. I will answer that. Guys... Just remember this before I get crap for this. The Jets and the Giants are different. My opinion on the Jets and the Giants, it varies. Their situations are completely different. If you gave me Matthew Stafford as quarterback of the New York Jets, I'd be thrilled. I just don't think it's realistic based on the cap hit they're taking on Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right.
Like,
that's right. And we also talked about there's not an urgency. Go get Matt Stafford so you can win right now.
There isn't an urgency.
It's not the same.
but it's not the same as it was with the Giants.
You're right, because Daboll's coaching for his job, Aaron Glenn isn't, but the Jets are better equipped to win. If the Jets were able in this miraculous universe to finesse the cap enough to get Matthew Stafford, they'd have a great chance to make the playoffs next year. The Giants don't. Like, we could vary on it, but my opinion, like, if you guys got Stafford, I know I don't know about free agency or the draft, but I would say you may be winning 6 or 7 games.
Right.
I don't think you're winning the division.
Well, hold on. You had the Rams going to the Super Bowl this past year, quarterbacked by Matthew Stafford.
Coached by Sean McVay.
Absolutely.
And coached by Sean McVay.
Okay, so.
Coached by Sean McVay.
Okay, so unless we clone Sean McVay, then nobody's ever going to the Super Bowl in the NFC. There's only one Sean McVay. So my point is this.
Yeah, you're asking why I picked the Rams to get to the Super Bowl.
No, I wanted to set up my point by saying that you were high on the Rams.
No, Tommy, before you continue, just know this. I was high on the Rams because Sean McVay's beat me into submission. I think he's a great NFL head coach.
So pick him next year when Stafford's off the team.
I probably will. Or at least I'll pick him to win the division.
When we look back on the playoffs, the best chance for the Eagles to lose was against the Rams. They had Stafford at quarterback. They had Jared Verse. If you have Abdul Carter and Matthew Stafford on the Giants, as down as I've been on them, now you have a football
game. Oh, I got you. I got you in the corner. Because Tiki and Sean would answer this differently. You won't, unless you lie. Can Brian Daboll shine Sean McVay's shoes? Like, just shine him. Can he? Oh, you're screwed.
Based on what he's done so far?
Answer the question. Can't shine his shoes.
Okay, so Matthew Stafford is a product of Sean McVay. That is an absolute asinine take.
How much did he win before he got there?
Matthew Stafford was a great quarterback before he got there. He was a product of Detroit. By the way, they wish they still had him.
He was a... I don't know about that. I think Jared Goff has played incredibly well.
Both one-time coach of the year, so he can shine his shoes.
Stop it. The question wasn't for you and Tiki, because I know you guys respect Daboll. I'm cornering him. He hates Daboll.
I do, but I really respect Matthew Stafford, and I do think Abdul Carter, if he is great pass rusher, those are two really, really great players you're adding to a roster.
So you think the Giants win what? Win the division?
You can win 9 to 10 games with the roster they have.
I disagree with you. Respectfully. Because I get it. It's tough. It's also very tough to make this kind of prediction when we don't know the draft or free agency.
Right.
So I am talking kind of in the theory of last year. And I like Matthew Stafford. I don't want that discussion to be misconstrued. I think he's really good. You asking me why I picked the Rams last year, a lot of it was more so McVay than it was Stafford. Stafford's good, though. I mean, if they had, me at quarterback, I wouldn't have picked him. You know what I mean? If they had Zach Wilson at quarterback, I wouldn't have picked him. But that doesn't corner me on Stafford, and it also disrespects the rest of the Ram roster.
But that's my point.
The Rams are a good team.
But I'm giving you Jared Verse. Their defense got better. The Giants have the number 3 overall pick, and you have Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. Now, look, they may be busts, but you're talking about two people that everybody thinks are going to be these great generational talents. So you could add a real dog on your defense, too. You could improve the defense.
If Matthew Stafford's the quarterback of the Jets, how good are they?
Meaning last year?
No, this year.
This year.
Again, projecting. We don't know the way the roster's going to... But we assume Aaron Glenn's a better coach than Robert Saleh. They're not going to fire the coach in the middle of the year. Stafford's the quarterback. Based on the way you're talking, Tommy, you're picking him to win 13 games. And that's cool if you are.
Do we know Aaron Glenn's a better coach than Brian Daboll?
We don't know.
We don't. No, but you know what we do know? We're pretty sure he's a better coach than Robert Saleh. And what's his name?
That I agree with.
And Beardman.
Who's our... Jeff Olbrich.
Jeff Olbrich. Who's that guy?
I think they win 10 or 11 games.
Okay.
Right, I mean,
fair enough.
I didn't realize this, Sean McVay. I'm just going back and look. He's been there 8 years already.
He's amazing.
8 years. He's only had one losing season.
8 years, one losing season.
And only one other winning season under 10 double digits. Every season is double digit wins except for one, or two, I should say. One was a losing. The other one was not.
And one other fact about Sean McVay, it's pretty impressive.
What's that?
Younger than me. And he's been there for 8 years.
Dude is not even 40 yet.
He's not even 40.
He just turned 39.
I know. Nah, he's the man. A big reason why I picked the Rams is because of Sean McVay. I have great respect for him. He's also a fellow ginger. We'll get back to your calls in a bit. 888-808-1019. And we address the question we've wanted answered for a while. We'll do this at around 4:30. Would Mike Breen ever issue a triple bang?
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget.
Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.